Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
When we get this sense of respect and reverence for God, the next thing that sets in, do you remember what happened with Isaiah? Think back with me. What happened with Isaiah, chapter 6? What happened to him? Man, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. The glory of God, it's just there. And he looks upon the presence of God. He says, man, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of... He was clearly aware of who he's not. Arrogantly, so often, we barge into the presence of God, you know, thinking God owes us something. You know, it's just not the case. He longs to fellowship with you and with me. But it's in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Man, that's how we come into his presence. Now this, as we start off with this, that first one, that fear, that reverence, it led them to a sense of conviction. But what's interesting about conviction, and conviction's an interesting thing. You and I can experience conviction, and it's good. But conviction in and of itself is not enough. Feeling convicted is not enough. That doesn't do what the conviction sets in order to motivate us. It's to be used as a motivator for us to move into action. That's the next thought that we're coming into. The fear oftentimes triggers a conviction, reverence, seeing God's holiness, however you want to specifically word that so that you can feel comfortable with it. I'm fine with fear. I fear God. I have no problem with saying that. I know who God is. I know who I'm not. But if you want to put it in other words, it's fine, as long as you stay within holiness or some kind of good term that's going to work. But it leads to a conviction. Isn't that what happened with Isaiah? He was convicted. He suddenly was keenly aware of who he wasn't, and he had conviction. Man, I'm a man of unclean lips, and not only me, but I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. This conviction that sets in. This arc's there. Now, Samuel, then verse 3, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, if you will return to the Lord with all your hearts, then it doesn't stop there. If you're just slightly convicted about something, and okay, you're convicted. I just feel convicted. I feel kind of bad about that thing. I know I really need to do something different. We even talk about it sometimes. Well, there's got to be a change. Something's got to change. Then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. I want you to, there's a couple of things. First, I'll give you the second thought here that's most important to note is the conviction, the fear of God, the sense of God's presence, the holiness there drew them into this place of conviction. But it's our response to that conviction that really matters. The conviction, well, good. We can feel warm and fuzzy. I've been conviction. But it's the response to that that really, really matters. And their response was true repentance. True repentance. They turned away from whatever it was that they were doing. Didn't matter what it was. Whatever they were doing, they turned away from it and moved toward God. So it's not just turning away from, but it's turning away from and moving towards something else. That's important in true repentance. Not just turning away from, but moving towards something else. So it's all faith in action. You know, it's all something happening in real time. It's something that's really going on that I'm pursuing and moving toward. It's interesting when we look at this, that as these gods that they had placed in for themselves, it wasn't that they had totally gotten rid of God as far as some aspect of their culture. That's an interesting thing to me. It wasn't that they took these other things in and just replaced. That wasn't the problem. It was that they commingled. They incorporated all of these other things into their culture. There wasn't a clear distinction. It all just kind of mixed together. And hey, you know, you're kind of into Ashtaroth. I'm kind of into Baal. Some of you like Dagon. He's missing his head and his hands now, but that's cool. You know, kind of just fish guy, fish torso now. And so, hey, you know, that kind of works for you. That's great. You know, our world's trying to, our society here in the United States is trying to push us into that culturally. I cannot be a part of it, but I know that's what they're trying to push us into all that, that we would just accept all that and just, oh, yeah, you know, I'm glad this is working for you. And there's people that have an agenda that want to take over our country, you know, as a matter of fact. You know, it's this isn't just something that's loosely handled, and that's not a paranoid view. That's just pretty realistic, really. They have a plan. Now, we can stick our heads in the sand, and I think that's, by and large, most of the people's plan. Let's just dig a little hole, stick our head down, fill it back in around us, and we don't see it, we don't know about it, it doesn't bother us, and that's just great. It's foolishness. True repentance, man, they had to get rid of these gods. They had commingled these things. They had added these other gods into the mix. That's an interesting concept to me. They've added it in. They've mixed it in. Danger. So, true repentance. Really like this. Isn't it great? That they were to turn away and they were to serve God only, him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths, and they served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So now prayer is being incorporated into this. Now there's this repentance. They're actually now able to have this relationship really reconnected. So they gathered at Mizpah in verse 6. So the third thing is prayer that fits in. They gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. Now to them, you know, to us, it's just water, it's just water. But if you're living in a real thirsty land, water's a pretty precious commodity, huh? You know, you've been out in the desert, water's a precious commodity. Water's a precious commodity to them. And by pouring that out, it was pretty much an offering. We watch this happen from time to time in Scripture. They poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said, in this place, they said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And then Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. There was an open, unabashed confession. And confession is not just the acknowledgement of something. Confession is an agreement, really. Confession is agreeing with God. It's saying, I see that, God. I see your ways are right, and I see my ways aren't. Now I'm in true confession mode. So this fourth thing, the first thing we saw was reverence or fear of God. The next thing we see is true repentance. Then we see them entering into prayer. Through prayer, now we see then confession. Really an open heart, just saying, Lord, we've missed it. We agree with you. You're right. That's so important because it leads now to that deeper walk with God. That confession leads to that because when I say, because my heart and your heart, our hearts can get drifty sometimes and our hearts can drift away and we can't always fix our hearts. The only thing we can do is try and change our mind. Now, God could, he could change my heart and my mind. He could do that. But God won't force himself on your mind because now you're robotic if he forced himself on you. So he wants you, even in confession, to choose and say, even though my heart's wanting to do these things, I'm going to agree with you, God, and I'm going to ask that you fix my heart. God will do that in time. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It could, but it doesn't necessarily. But in time. So I've got to agree with God. I agree with God. Then because my mind, I can choose to agree with God and purpose that. Now he has access to change my heart. Because now we've given him opportunity because we've agreed with him. We've come to terms with that. We've agreed with him. Really a lot to do with these things within our mind. Now the Philistines heard that the children of Israel, verse 7, had gathered together at Mizpah. The lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Now there is an offering being made. And it's an offering that's interactive. It's going to be accepted and received. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. You remember Romans chapter 12. We just sung about it. Hey, those are sweet words that come roll right off all our lips. Sacrifice, and I'm willing, and offering it all up to God. Really? The words come off really easy, but in real actuality and how that plays out, that's not always that simple. It's a real challenge sometimes. And so, man, we want to be wise about this stuff. Really think, man, what am I saying? Do I mean it? And we don't want to fall prey to Isaiah's time and the people of Isaiah's time where he talked to them and said, man, you say things with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Man, we don't want to get in that mode because, man, there's a lot of people in that mode in our world today, in our culture today, really caught up in that. Man, they offered this up. Really, Romans chapter 12 is really what comes to mind. Offering ourselves up as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. Man, giving ourselves over to the Lord. And he says, because of all the things, and he's just spent these chapters, you know, going through God's grace and his goodness and his mercy and this view back and forth between the law and grace and God's goodness and mercy. He says, hey, man, when you consider all those things, it only makes good sense to give yourself up to the Lord as a living sacrifice. That's basically the content of that in chapter 12, the first couple of verses. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Verse 10, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day. Kind of an interesting thing. Baal, the male side of this fertility god, and because the other one, Ashtaroth, is a goddess. He's a god, you know, so it's more not the one true living god, small g. Just let's be clear. But the idea is it's also a kind of like a weather god. Interesting, huh? That Baal would be like that. And what did God use? Great thunderings that day. And then ultimately, what did it do? And so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Have you ever noticed, if you notice as you go through the scriptures, it's an interesting thing. God oftentimes will bring a spirit of confusion upon those who are in opposition to him. Interesting. That's an interesting thing. He will allow that to take place. And it's with those who are in opposition to him. And it's an interesting thing to note as you go through the scripture, but I believe you'll find that to be true. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth Kar. Think of the battles that we've watched sometimes in scripture. And then all of a sudden, march around there seven times, and then all of a sudden, knock your little clay pot that's covering your torch, just bust that, sound the trumpets, and it just completely confused the enemy. The walls come down, just utter confusion. They go and they slay everybody. We go into other battle things where all of a sudden they go into battle up against Joshua and his armor bearer, going up against this. They freak out. They think, you know, it was Gideon and his armor bearer went into battle. They all got confused and they just started stabbing each other, you know? They didn't know who they were. And they just, it's confusion that happens. You know, confusion for a believer is not of the Lord. I'm not saying that you don't have a question from time to time or you're trying to sort something out from time to time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're just getting in a swirly confusion, man, it's time to really be still because that's not of God. That's of the enemy. And God only uses that or allows that when people are in opposition to him. So note, think through that. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us," or the stone of help, Ebenezer. Remember how we think about that? I'm going to place my Ebenezer here, the stone of help. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities of the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the land of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now, the sixth thing that you want to note, so far we've got five. We had fear of God, true repentance, prayer, confession, offering that then goes up before the Lord. The sixth thing is victory and peace. God brought victory and God brought peace. They had victory in their battle as they were relying and trusting on the Lord. The stone of help. God is the stone of help. God is that place where we find help. And he gives victory and then also we find that there's peace. And Samuel judged all Israel, verse 15, all the days of his life. And he went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. I like this. This is the seventh thing and the final thing. But there needs to be a place of altar. There needs to be a place where we really take time to be alone with God and let God shape and mold us. A lot of things happen in the altar, but the greatest thing that happens is we get changed because of time spent in the presence of the Lord, the altar. Now, it can be just a quiet time that you select for yourself throughout the course of any given day. It can be evening, morning, noontime, whatever your schedule, but you just take that time. And I like this, you know, it was at home. It was at home, and he just made this place where he spent time to worship God. You know, Abraham dug a lot of wells, had a lot of herds, did a lot of great things. But the greatest strength that he had in his life, as you look through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you look at the history of all of them, there's certain similarities of things they did, the wells and different things like that. But Abraham far exceeded them in altars. He was always building an altar. And sometimes in those times are the times where you remember Abraham, bring thine son, thine only son. The biggest strength that Abraham had, and I believe one of the reasons why he was considered then ultimately, even in all of his failures and lacking, but he was considered the father of our faith for that reason. He spent a lot of time at the altar, and it changed him. caused him to have a different relationship with God. So significant for us. I'm not talking about just blazing through, I'm going to read my devotion, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes, I'm going to, you know, whatever your schedule thing. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm discussing right now. I'm talking about hanging out with God. When was the last time that you asked God, just plainly, just said, God, you know what? No holds barred. What do you want to do? How do you want to change? What do you want to add? What do you want to take out? No holds barred. That's a pretty radical thought, isn't it? Isaac. This is what God says to Abraham. Abraham, why don't you bring Isaac, thine son, thine only son. Isn't it great, though, to know that whatever you have came from God? When you know that, you're comfortable. When you're the one that's doing it, you squeal and scream and carry on because it's yours. But if it's not yours, if it came from the hand of God, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Those are, I'm telling you, those are difficult, difficult, difficult things. But that's the reality of true Christianity. It's not just things we sing about. It's not just things that we just feel good about. It's the real reality of this process that we went through that led to getting to an altar. This whole process that we went through. There was prayer, there was confession, there was offering things up. And there's getting really right down to it at the altar. Because, man, you just got to let it all go there. No holds barred. Isn't that a wild, that sequence that goes through there, it's just wild to me. It began with really a fresh realization of who God is and who we're not. Basically, I would say you could use that if you wanted to go into 2 Chronicles chapter 29 or several other portions of Scripture, but you could use that and you would see a very similar format over and over again through Scripture, very similar to that. It leads to the same process. And I don't think it's a one-time experience for Christians. You know, I don't think, well, yeah, I did that when I first gave my life to the Lord. Well, great. But I don't think that's where, I think that's the beginning. And that's a lifetime of openness to God as we come to him and let him have his way. As we get to that place where we get altered, you know, really changed. God goes in and starts moving things around, getting things right the way he wants them. He has a way he wants us to worship him. And it's through and in the personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. It's not anything else. It's only through that. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior.
And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.